Right. Let me thank the organizer one more time for inviting me here to this program and to this great conference. It's been a real pleasure. And I'll talk about some aspects of holographic finite density matter. And I learned that I'll be giving this talk only a few days ago. So I realized that I'll have a hard time making all the references right. So there'll be no references, basically, for which I apologize. So the most recent paper that I wrote on the subject with these two guys appeared recently. And there's also some related work by these people. Actually, there are many related papers. So, well, generally, we expect physics at low energies to be described by an effective theory. And at finite density, a Fermi liquid theory is a good example of such an effective theory. And it would be great to have an effective description for theories at finite density, which can be described by holography. I'm not sure if at the moment we have such a description, but we do know quite a bit about the responses of these systems. And this question is especially interesting for strongly interacting fermions, because it's really hard to analyze them by other means. And what people do is they place fermions and into the bulk of ADS and include back reaction. But what I'm going to do here is I'm going to discuss the situation where we try to understand the starting point, the n equals infinity limit. So here is the outline for the rest of my talk. I will start by a brief review of Fermi liquid theory, and I will talk about some particular collective excitation that is interesting, called zero sound. Then I will tell you about the results in holographic finite density matter, and that includes probe brains and the systems with full back reaction. And then I will discuss the Fermi liquid theory with very finely tuned parameters, and we'll see how the collective excitations of this model are very much like the collective excitation of this model. And then I will conclude with some comments and summary. well, let me remind you that the Fermi liquid, lambda Fermi liquid theory describes the small excitations on top of Fermi liquid, and the defining equation is the change in the full energy of the system as a response to the small change in the distribution function, delta n. So we write the term that is linear in delta n and the term that is quadratic in delta n, and all high-order terms actually not relevant in the limit of small energy. Here, the unperturbed distribution function is just a step function, and epsilon naught here is gives the dispersion relation, and f tells you how the change of the distribution function at two different points on the Fermi surface interacts, basically. So the important quantities here are the Fermi velocity, which is just a derivative of the dispersion of epsilon naught with respect to momentum at the Fermi sphere, the effective mass, which is just K Fermi, which is the maximum value of momentum, divided by Fermi velocity, and this interaction function, where K and K prime can be taken to lie on the Fermi surface. So this interaction function really only depends on the angle, and I can write it in the simple form where big F of theta, theta is the angle between the two points on the Fermi surface, can be expanded further in the Gendre polynomials, and these coefficients are called Landau parameters. So as I mentioned, it's natural to expand to a second order in delta n, because if you look at the change in the grand canonical potential, then it's given by this. And both of these terms, if there is some small parameter, some small deviation from equilibrium, then both epsilon minus mu, where mu is the chemical potential, and delta n are linear in this parameter. So both of these terms are quadratic. And that's why we don't need to include half of the terms. Now, one can also relate things like effective mass, which was defined a couple slides before, and things like the speed of the regular thermodynamic sound to the chemical potential and the Fermi velocity through the Landau parameters. And one of the most important thermodynamic facts about a Fermi liquid is that it has heat capacity, which is which vanishes linearly with temperature at small temperatures. This is basically because at small temperatures, the quasiparticles are excited in a very narrow region, and they also have energy which is proportional to temperature. So heat capacity is linear in temperature, and the coefficient is this. Now, an interesting dynamic property of this Fermi liquid is the gapless excitation called zero sound. And the interesting fact about it is that it occurs at small temperature. So omega and q, the wave vectors and the frequency, are much larger than the temperature. And one can write down this integral equation for the speed of zero sound, where s, the speed of zero sound here is u naught. This is Fermi velocity. S is the ratio of these two guys. And to find s, one is supposed to solve the integral equation where nu is the function which parameterizes the deformation of the Fermi surface. And in general, one can, in some simple cases, one can actually solve it. In the cases where nu is a non-trivial function, it's a bit more complicated, but we can solve it in some approximations. And that's what we're going to do. And one can derive this equation by writing down the basically the conservation of particle number, but I'm probably not going to go into detail here. I'm just going to remind you that the zero sound, unlike thermodynamic sound, lives in the regime where omega times the collision time, which in the case of a Fermi liquid is inversely proportional to t squared, is much, much larger than 1. So it's actually completely opposite to the normal sound, the usual hydrodynamic sound, which lives in the regime omega tau is much, much smaller than 1. And in these models that we consider, necessarily has the speed, which is 1 over square root of spatial dimension. So these two excitations live in different regimes. That's the summary of this. So an example of some interacting spectral function, some simple interacting spectral function, is, let's say, a larger model with fermions at finite density. And in these models, you can compute the two-point function by just summing bubble diagrams. And you can draw the spectral function, which has this form. So in here we have this peak, which is zero sound that I was talking about. And this bunch of things here, these excitations, are basically particle hole excitations. And what happens is if I increase the interaction strength, this particle hole continuum gets lower and lower here and eventually disappears in the regime when my Landau parameters are large.
Let's just try one
doesn't look like it. All right, so in this situation, we can actually compute the speed of zero sound. And in this case where we have interacting fermions, or in the by solving the integral equation, and you get the same result. So you're supposed to solve this equation. So in the limit of small interaction, the speed of zero sound approaches the speed, the Fermi velocity. So the ratio of zero sound and the first sound speeds is this. And in the opposite limit, where you take interaction to be small, this ratio actually goes to one. So in summary, in the regime where the Fermi liquid is a good description, which is a regime where omega and t are much, much smaller than chemical potential, we have a sound mode which interpolates between the regular sound for very small omegas and the zero sound for very large omegas. And when the Landau parameters are large, what happens is the Fermi is much, much smaller than the speed of zero sound, and the spectral density only has a sound pole, a zero sound pole. There's nothing else. There's no particle Hall continuum.
Is
Well, you can probably explain that much better than I do. But one thing, I guess, which is related to this is, you know, if this were a field theory, there would be momentum conservation between this delta n and other delta n. But, you know, this is really some, I describe some excitation which involves the particle and the quasi-particle, one side particle and the quasi-particle on the other side. So,
you know, it's funny because Fermi liquids are all like the sketch story.
A lot like the sketch story we heard, where they're just, you got to control these different regions. Like they're scattering both along, scattering with respect to, you know, there's the angular direction of the Fermi surface and the radial direction. And somehow, this is an effective field theory where something has, I don't know, it's almost like it's integrated right down to the Fermi surface. But I think there's a lot, I don't know, anyway, I think there's a larger formalism of field theory here, which I forget the name, you know, there's this Russian book, that I think really, it's kind of a bigger formalism that one really needs to do Fermi liquid theory.
It is a phenomenological theory, it's not quantum field theory. So in a way, it's a bit like hydrodynamics. And but we will see that many things that we get out of it are going to look very similar to what we get using ADS.
Fields, but it's not integrated over 3 minutes, it's only integrated over 2 momenta. And so there's some, it's a truncation of a vertex. Well, I think for some processes they're infinite because this doesn't capture them. Like there's this, you know, the sunrise graph that gives you the quasi-particle lifetime. I think you can't get it from just the Fermi liquid theory. You need a more extended vertex. But again, it's more confusion than a question. Gives us a chance to fix things. Jaloshinsky, that was the author, yeah. Abramovsky.
Okay, so that looks much better. Now, let me talk about a couple of systems which correspond to finite density states that can be described by holography. I'm going to talk about the probe brains, where all the charged matter lives in the probe brains. And also, I'm going to talk about the systems as fallback reaction, which in gravity is, which in holographic, on the gravity side, is just gravity plus ENM. So, we can have a whole bunch of probe brain systems, and they all give rise to different Lagrangians. So, in particular, there are cases where the only degrees of freedom that are charged and that find the density are fermions. There are cases where both bosons and fermions are charged, and so on. But in the end, the dual results, the holographic results, are all the same. And at strong coupling, we use, as usual, the DBI action for the D brain in a DS5 process 5 background or in some other backgrounds, depending on what system we study. And finite temperature and density correspond to asymptotically DS black hole and gauge field on the brain whorl volume. So then we can ask what's the spectrum of low energy excitations. And the exercise that we do is we expand the DBI to quadratic order in fluctuations. Identify the relevant gauge invariant degree of freedom, which is basically the energy, the electric field on the brain, and solve this equation. The result of this in the D3, D7 case is the mode which has the sound like dispersion, and the dissipation is given by this q squared plus t squared over nu, which basically, which is actually quite interesting because it interpolates between, it looks very similar to dissipation in the Fermi liquid case, where it interpolates between the t squared and q squared, depending on how large your omega is. So this exercise can be repeated in various cases. And the result is that it's always true that the speed of zero, so this is this mode, which people call holographic zero sound. It exists for omega much, much larger than temperature. But the speed is always the same as the conform, as the speed of thermodynamic sound, that you could, hydrodynamic sound, that you can compute using usual thermodynamics. Now, if you do this exercise in gravity plus a gauge field, what you find, again, we did a few cases. What you find is that, again, there is a zero sound excitation that lives in the regime where omega is much, much, much larger than the temperature, but smaller than chemical potential. And so naively, if you look at the Fermi liquid theory, this is where the zero sound lives, and it shouldn't be described by hydro. But what we actually observe is that even though omega is much, much larger than t, hydro is still applicable. And of course, in the brain case, it was hard to observe for technical reasons. Now, in the following, I look at some particular background which has the entropy scaling linear with the temperature and has black, well, I'm not going to write down the black hole solution for you, but basically there's some black hole in this dilaton plus gauge field with gravity, and entropy of this black hole scales linearly with the temperature. So the heat capacity is linear, just like it is in the Fermi liquid. And then you can try to ask a question, what happens if it were a Fermi liquid? You know, what would be the the lambda parameters. What would be the parameters? So the heat capacity is this, and that should be compared with the heat capacity of the Fermi liquid, which is this. And if, in addition, we assume Lagrange theorem, then we get the following results for K Fermi and effective mass and Fermi velocity, where x is basically the Newton constant over L cubed, so it's a very small parameter. It's roughly like 1 over n. And we see that K Fermi is parametrically large, the mass is parametrically large, and the Fermi velocity is parametrically small in x. And we also see that F1 lambda parameter is parametrically large. And F0 is a little bit 1, 0 in this case. So now we can go back to our integral equation for the zero sound and write the deformation of the Fermi surface in this way and solve the resulting equation. So with an additional assumption that all Fs are order 1 other than F1, we get, and imposing the fact that we observe that the zero sound speed is equal to the speed of the normal sound, we end up with this formula, which basically means that the second lambda parameter must be set to this value equal to minus 5. And that's actually a very special number. This is where Fermi liquid develops Pomeranchuk instability. So that's an interesting corner of the parameter space. And then we can check what this means for the observables in the Fermi liquid setup. So in particular, K Fermi scales is parametrically larger than mu, so we're not supposed to see any effects like Friedel oscillations in the three-level gravity calculation. The Fermi velocity vanishes, so that means that we're not supposed to see any particle Hall continuum, and we don't see anything like this in the gravity calculation again. And we're also not supposed to see any log violation in entanglement entropy because the three-level result scales differently. In addition, this F2 equals minus 5 is precisely the point where the higher zero sounds with adimuton dependence disappear from the spectrum. And that is also consistent that we don't see these guys in gravity. And finally, we can estimate quasi-particle lifetime. And one important thing here is that for generic lambda parameters, the ratio of viscosity of entropy behaves like 1 over T cubed. And of course, in all gravitational models, it's necessarily 1 over 4 pi. So one doesn't really have a chance to describe any kind of Fermi liquid like system with the gravitational model. But interestingly, precisely when F2 is equal to minus 5, this time, quasi-particle lifetime, is parametrically suppressed. So the coefficient in front of 1 over T cubed actually can vanish. And finally, I'd like to comment on the applicability of hydrodynamics. So again, generally we expect that hydro should be applicable when omega is much, much smaller than T squared. But there is this F2 minus plus 5 coefficient in front of it, really. And so in our case, if you believe the Fermi picture, you would have that hydrodynamics would be applicable always, even when omega is much, much larger than T squared. So, and that's precisely what we observe in the holographic setting. So namely, we observe that the sound pole looks like, we can follow the sound pole and it looks like this with the quadratic term given by this number. And again, naively, one wouldn't expect hydro to be applicable here because we're in the regime where omega is much, much larger than t squared, but this. So one question that that we asked is whether we can engineer a gravity dual which would have 8 over s scaling similar to Fermi liquid. And the answer is yes. So it turns out that if you add a certain high derivative term, you do get this behavior. Although, let's say technically it's a bit complicated, so studying quasi-normal modes, things like this in this model is technically going to be not so easy. All right, so let me conclude with some summary. So what we observed is that a Fermi liquid with very finely tuned parameters, namely with vanishing Fermi velocity and at the Spumaranchuk instability point, has the same collective behavior as holographic matter, finite density matter, which you can describe as holography. And it would be really interesting to see whether there is a gravitational model where the speed of sound is not equal to a conformal value. Then maybe one could see the interpolation between the hydrodynamic and the non-hydrodynamic regimes. And we made some steps in this direction by considering a certain high derivative gravity. And it would be interesting to analyze quasi-normal modes there. Finally, there is something interesting that happens in the probe brain case, which doesn't happen in the gravity plus ENM case, which is in the probe brain, the zero sound happens to go between the collisionless thermal and the collisionless quantum regime. So in both cases, omega over mu is much, much larger than t squared over mu squared, but in collisionless thermal, it's smaller than t over mu, and then if it becomes really large, the dissipation for the zero sound changes the form. And what happens in holography is very similar to what happens in Fermi liquid. So we don't observe this in the gravity plus NM because hydro is valid all the way. So this regime is just not there. But it would be interesting to have a model which would have both of these things. All right. Well, I think this is a last slide. So thank you very much.
Isn't this point F2 equals 5 also where the field theory treatment would have like an effective massless boson from the shape of the Fermi surface? Isn't that what's
is yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this like Sashtev and Militsky have studied that field theory, and it's, So
it would be interesting to understand the connection.
So your example where you had the entropy going linearly in the temperature, you have analytic black hole solutions to that Lagrangian? Mm-hmm. And S is proportional to T for all values of the mass and charge and stuff?
These are actually these black holes where two U1 charges are equal and one U1 charge is zero. So
I see.
If you forget about all sorts of instabilities associated with them, like scalar instabilities, that's these are basically, and you do dimensional reduction. Mm-hmm. This is what you get.
Okay, any more questions? I guess it's lunchtime. Thank you.